Shibli Telhami is the Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland. He has a new book out, The Stakes, America and the Middle East. He joins us in our studios. Shibli, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And your book opens with some ruminations about what you see as the danger of keeping quiet in the face of bloodshed. You take us back to September 11th, 2001. And I know that's something you feel is called for now, too.
There's no question about it. And I mean it from all sides. I mean, I think one has to make a very clear moral position against attacks on civilians for any reason. But at the same time, we must understand the causes. And here, I think my fear in our war on terrorism is that we're so entirely focused on what I call the supply side, the horrific groups that must be confronted, like Al-Qaeda, that we're ignoring what I call the demand side, the fact that you have such pervasive receptivity in segments of the world, especially in Arab and Muslim countries today, to be recruited into such groups.
You suggest, you know, when you talk about the factors that might motivate terrorism, I'm interested by the fact that you don't believe that poverty is necessarily one of them, that old bromide about terrorism being the poor man's nuclear bomb. You think there are other factors.
I think poverty is certainly a motivator, and I think that on the extremes, clearly it is a factor. I think, however, if you look historically, poverty itself has not been a motivator for violence. It's been an important factor in a whole set of issues, but the most important motivator, to my mind, is humiliation and hopelessness. Those are the terms I use. And I think when I look today at the Middle East, what worries me most is the psychological state of affairs, mm-hmm. which represents helplessness, a sense of pervasive helplessness in affecting things that are so profoundly important to people's lives on a daily basis and also politically. They all watch what's unfolding globally, what's unfolding in the West Bank and Israel, what's unfolding in relation to Iraq, what they see as an inevitable war, and they are absolutely helpless.
You suggest in the book that a good deal of the rest of the world thought that the United States was rather late to wake up to the menace of terrorism.
Yes, I think there was certainly in the early response globally, in a sense of there was a wicked sense of satisfaction in some parts, even though everybody condemned it and thought it was mm-hmm. horrific. But there was a sense of, you know, we told you so, we've paid a price for this and you have not, and you've been immune to it. And, you know, the Europeans and the Egyptians in particular, Egyptians keep saying, you know, we have warned the U.S. over and over again, but the U.S. said we're using this only for domestic political reasons.
I mean, the numbers of political assassinations that have occurred in Egypt over the past generation are staggering.
Exactly. But the truth of the matter is we had been not taking it seriously enough, in part for good reason, because we also didn't want to play into the hands of every regime that it wants to target its enemies. Think of Russia and Chechnya, to now label its enemies as terrorists. But that is the dilemma that we face now in trying to just define groups to be targeted instead of finding a collective way to deal with the means, to delegitimize the means, which should be unacceptable under any circumstances by any group.
Let me put you on the spot a bit with a totally speculative question. How do you assess the possibility of either a coup d'etat occurring in Iraq or some European statesman or group of people persuading Saddam Hussein to step into exile, get a big house in the south of France?
I would deem that as the least likely. Nothing is impossible, but it's least likely in my mind. He's a different type of person when it comes to how he sees himself. On the second issue, in terms of coup, I think it is clear that that is the strong preference of so many around the world. In the Arab world, people don't want to see the war because mm-hmm. all Arab governments are frightened by the consequences, but they want to see him gone, and they would love to have a say in replacing him, and that's clearly what's being encouraged. That's also the position of the Europeans and many others, I think.
Yeah.
The real issue is, can they succeed? And we know he's been extremely ruthless and careful in preventing that from happening, and there's nothing that suggests to me that is more likely in this environment.
Shibli Telhami, he has a new book, The Stakes, America and the Middle East.